Romans chapter 12. Just a couple of things. I was definitely thankful. Appreciate you guys, the stewardships and Lord's Supper meditations. You guys just really encouraged me. Really thoughtful, thought-provoking. I appreciate the brethren. When you come up here, you're prepared, you put work into it, and you have thing that's you have stuff that's meaningful for us from the Scriptures. God's Word is meaningful. As long as we prepare and we stick with that, and we, you know, you can't go wrong. And Dr. Dobson, I just want to say, whatever you think of in terms of the way you're a teacher, I think you're a great communicator. I got stuff from you today. Up here it was really clear to me. And so maybe you are the foot, not the mouth or whatever, but I don't think you don't stick your foot in your mouth. Anyways, all right, Romans chapter 12. Let's read verses 1 and 2. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's pray. Lord, we do praise your great and glorious name. We thank you, Lord, for not only saving us from our sins and from the consequences of those sins, Lord, and from the wrath to come. But Lord, you are really intensely interested in producing in us the obedience of faith. You are really concerned, Lord, with us individually, that your righteousness would be manifested in our lives. And Lord, even though sometimes it really can be an uphill battle and a tremendous fight to be victorious day in and day out, we're thankful that you don't just zap us and this is the way it is, that we get to go through the process, that we get to lean not on our understanding but on yours, that we actually get to go through what's necessary to renew our minds so that we think the way that you think. And so, Lord, I just ask you to be with me today as I preach your word, that I would communicate it clearly, and that each of us, Lord, would be really motivated to make sure that we are being transformed, Lord, by you, but doing our part with the renewing of our mind. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Romans 12, 1 and 2, a couple of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. These are ones that I like to think of as, you know, there's certain verses in the Scripture that I like to hang my hat on. And these two I kind of think of as anchor for my soul. You know, last week we talked about chapter 12, verse 1. I'm not going to hit that again. Just reminder, brethren, the reason we're able to offer anything to God is because of what He's given to us. Okay? But let's shift into chapter 12, verse 2. Honestly, this is the only real mechanism that God gives in the Scriptures for change. So you think about it, we talk about repentance. What does repentance mean? We teach people repentance means change the way you think. The Greek word for repent is metanoia. Change your mind. And so we talk to people about repentance and the importance of repentance. Before a person can become a Christian, they have to repent, don't they? That means they have to be willing to trade their... What they have to be willing to say is, you know what, my way of thinking has been wrong. And God, your ways are right. It's the bottom line. I'm not talking details here because the details, this is written to Christians. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. But there's a very preliminary thing that we do before we can ever become Christians, saying, you know what, my way of thinking, the world's way of thinking, all of that is wrong. And God, your ways of thinking are right. And we're willing to agree with your ways because we know they're right. That's, in a nutshell, what repentance is. I just say it's change your worldview. Okay. But then there's the particulars. Okay. Let me see a show of hands here from everybody that's... I don't know if this is fair because... Never mind. I was going to say, everybody that's a Christian. Okay, I won't... Some of us aren't Christians yet. We don't need to know who isn't or who is. So let me just ask you this. As a Christian, have you found it a challenge to actually change in your life to be like Christ? To really be who God wants you to be? Change is not an easy thing. And here's the... And so we see the Scripture make statements like, stop sinning. We see the Scripture that talk about therefore putting aside all filthiness and all the remains of wickedness. We see these things of the Scripture. Okay, yeah, we know we need to do them. How do we do that? Romans 12, verse 2 is really the only mechanism the Scripture gives for real change. We're going to talk about our part, and then we're going to talk about God's part. I'll just say, in by way of passing, this is from the beginning, I want you to notice, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? The be transformed, somebody else is doing the transforming. The renewing of your mind is the part that we have to do. Okay? And we'll get to that as we go along. But it starts off, though, with do not be conformed to this world. Again, this is actually something that you don't have to set out, brethren, to be conformed to this world. This is being done to you. The world will mold you to itself. What do we mean when we talk about the world? Well, the Scripture says the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The Scripture says that Jesus says the ruler of this world is coming, talking about Satan. Okay. 1 John talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. He says all that is in the world is passing away. Okay. So when the Scripture talks about the world, it's talking about everything outside of Christ. Really, guys, it's our culture. It's the environment in which we live. It's big government. It's the people behind the big government. It's your next door neighbors. It's what you see on TV, what you hear on the radio. Oh, this is the world. Everywhere around you, it's the world. One of the great challenges of Christianity. Hey, from John chapter 17, I'm just putting some verses together and summarizing some things Jesus says. But to be in the world, but not of it. That is the challenge of us being a Christian. We are here and we have a mission in this world. God didn't just, hey, you hit the waters of immersion. Sometimes I've told people, hey, I'll hold you under. The old man dies, right? In the waters of immersion. I'll hold you under until you die. Then you bring, if we did that physically, that'd be easy. You come up, we bury your body. You went straight there. In some ways, be asking the person that's dunking you to do you a favor. Yeah, just hold me under. Okay. But that's not the way God has us planned, does it? It's the coming up out of. It's that life after that God has an intention for us. But he warns us, this is written to Christians, do not be conformed to this world. Reality, brethren, as Christians, we're either growing or we're dying. We're either being conformed to this world or we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're either stepping up or we're slip-sliding away. You know what the Scripture says about the backslider in heart? He gets the fill of his own ways. And another way the Scripture says it is we're either overcoming. All the rewards, guys, of heaven go to him who overcomes. Or we're being overcome. 2 Peter chapter 2 does not speak highly of those who have become Christians and then again are entangled by this world and are overcome. Those are our choices. We're either overcoming or we're being overcome. Now, there's no doubt about that being in this world has its challenges. Ever since Adam and Eve ate that forbidden fruit, sin. It's normal. It's in your face, and it's being pushed at you. You know, 6th chapter of Genesis, it's interesting. You start the Bible, and you read it from the beginning. Okay? And Genesis, man, you get a view right away into Satan. You get a view into man's susceptibility to Satan, and you get a view into what happens when sin enters the world and where it goes societally very, very quickly. By Genesis chapter 6, God's saying, I got to destroy this place. I'm tired of this. And if any of you watched the big movie, I think Noah, I hope you didn't even remotely think that was scriptural. Okay? Because that has, you know, the book of Genesis has nothing to do with about we gotta save the animals from man and its environmental, you know. No. The reason God said he's gonna destroy the world is because the thoughts of man's heart was on evil continually. God saw the violence. Man, guys, there is violence. You know, we heard about the mass shootings here recently. But you know, in the mass shooting, it's terrible, the violence. But look at what happens day in, day out in the streets, in the cities in this country. Look what happens around the world. And I mentioned before, I'm not even going there, about the mass murders, the dictators of the world. The violence everywhere. We don't have to talk about movies and video games. Video games do shock me, though, I gotta say. The violence is there, and the thoughts of man's heart is on evil continually. And guys, nothing's changed in the world. Actually, some things have changed because of Christ. There's actually some light in this world, and I'm thankful for that. But the world outside of Christ, it's still the same. It's still in darkness. It's still evil continually. And that's the world in which we live. And I hate to break the news to you in case you haven't figured this out, but ever since we have, as a country, have decided that we don't believe in God, things are going downhill. Faster and faster. Stuff's getting worse, and it's going to continue to get worse. And so the challenge that we face, though, as Christians, what I want to talk about, we're called to be the salt of the earth, and we're warned not to lose our saltiness. Because you know what? It can suck it right out of you. The constant pull of being here. I feel it. I don't know. It's like, you know, I've mentioned this multiple times, but the Back to the Future, the heavy, it's heavy, and it's the gravitational pull of the earth in the whatever century, heavier than. Hey, the gravitational pull, guys, every morning you get up and you gotta get the rocket fuel to get blasted up out of this place, to get above the pull of the world. It's here, it's real. We feel it. You know, the way Galatians says it is that the Spirit sets its desire against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. We are swimming upstream every single day. We better be swimming upstream every single day. And so, in our world, sin's normal and righteousness is extreme weirdness. So the Scripture warns us not to be conformed to this world. And implicit in that, the ruler of this world has his goal to shape every one of us to be one of his slaves. We know we were there. Okay? But you become a Christian and Satan's attacks don't stop. Matter of fact, they crank up. Okay? The way Kevin says it, he had you before. You become a Christian, you get target on your back. Now he wants you. Book of Revelation, chapter 13, really chapter 12 bears that out. Okay, that the dragon he turns his attention to the offspring of the woman, talking about the church, and he's talking about individuals, each of us, you and I, we're Satan's target. And I guess I don't think I need to keep doing this, but I'm just going to say that pressure is incredibly strong. It's the fiery furnace of our day, if you think about it. The constant barrage of sin that's around us. You guys remember Lot living in Sodom? The New Testament says the righteous Lot felt his soul tormented day after day. Guys, that's where we are. We're hit from every direction. You know, media is a huge one. My guess is, virtually, no pun intended, everybody here, almost everybody here has a TV, computer, smartphone, something along those lines, some way that you're getting hit with media day in, day out, constantly. It's being pushed along to think a certain way. It actually shocked me. 9/11. I know that was a long time ago, but I don't really watch TV. Just something I don't do, and I don't intend to make that a habit. Okay? Some things are acquired taste, and they're not worth ever acquiring. But I remember I was home, actually, at 9/11. I had cancer. I was going through chemo at the time. And the news broke about, what happened. And I had no clue about it. Mrs. Donahue actually said she knew I was home. She's like, Luke, you gotta see what's going on, right? Now, honestly, guys, what year did 9/11 happen? 2001. Honestly, now I would have known about it because in the first thing in the morning when I was making my post on Facebook, I would have probably seen something, you know, because I got a smartphone and I do pay attention to that. But I had no clue then. I watched TV the next 2 days. And it shocked me. From somebody who doesn't watch TV, it shocked me that this was not just a reporting of an event. They told me how to think, how to feel, it was like, I think if you watch it probably all the time, you're used to it. But I was like, whoa. Like, this is not just a reporting. This is being told how to feel about everything that happened here. And it's a scary thing. And we're being pushed along channels to think a certain way. And again, you can think about movies just from a sexual morality thing. How long has it been since you've seen a movie where people actually are shown getting married first before they live together? I don't think they make movies like that anymore. But how long, let's ask this, how long has it been since you've seen homosexuality portrayed one form or another? What I'm saying is we are being conditioned to think a certain way. And it is very, very difficult not to be influenced by everybody around you. Day after day, week after week, month after month, that pressure. Let's talk about the government educational system for a second. Hey, let's send our kids to the public school. Let's not call it public school. Let's call it what it is, government school. What are our kids being taught from the time they're young? Hey, we don't allow God in the schools. Do we have to say any more than that? So 8 hours a day? What are our children being taught? They're being taught to think a certain way. That's the reality of it. You don't think that the education of your children, what they're being taught for 8 hours a day, is going to impact their worldview? See, I do not be conformed to this world, guys. We're in a pressure cooker. And it is there, and it's heated up, and it's constant all the time. Hey, let me ask you guys a few questions here, just for fun. One other way to see how much we're influenced. I'm going to say a phrase. You guys tell me who this is. Okay? Just do it. Nike, right? Piece of cake. Think outside the bun. Taco Bell. Come on, be louder. Save money, live better. Walmart. I figured somebody would know that one. Miller time. You guys are afraid to admit you know that one, aren't you? Okay. The best a man can get. The best a man can get, Gillette. Let's build something together. Lowe's or Home Depot, one of them. They better get better so you don't go to the wrong place. But you guys see what I'm saying? Like, we know this stuff because we're being conditioned to know that advertising is powerful. The media is incredibly powerful. So hey. There's no doubt about it, guys, that the inner thoughts control our outward world. That's why repentance, change the way you think. I have a little saying, if you continue to think like you've always thought, you'll continue to get what you've always got. Is that what you want? If you want changes, you have to change the way you think, right? And so, God's telling us here, don't be conformed to this world, be transformed. We're going to talk about that briefly. He does the transformation. There's a work. So as the world's doing its work to conform us, God's doing His work to transform us, but we have a part to play in this. And that's what I want to particularly emphasize today, and that's the renewing of our mind. Okay. The nature of the spiritual battle is such that you don't have to intentionally set out to desire worldliness in order to swallow it up. Okay. I think most people don't choose their worldview. Most people catch their worldview. Sickness has been going around, right? So what do you do when sickness is going around? I try to pound my vitamins, wash my hands, especially I see one of these kids. I love kids, but I see kids and their nose is just like, and I go and I give them five and I'm like, ooh, I should probably use hand sanitizer or something before I go shake somebody else's hand. Okay? That's how we, but people, you don't like, oh, hey, I think I want to get sick next week. You catch it from somebody. And that's what most people, their worldview, they don't set out to get it. They just catch it. The environment in which they're raised. So if we don't want to catch the worldview, we want to catch God's view, we're going to have to actually set out to go and get that. Okay? So, you know, the way I think about it is, this virus thing, we got to have continual protection. We got to be, to steal from the computer world, we got to be plugged into God's live antivirus program. I'm thankful for, I don't know how these antivirus stuff works, but it's live updates. It's just always updating, keeping your, if you're into it, just keeping you updated. But we have to figure out spiritually, how do we get on God's live antivirus protection program? We got to be proactive in guarding against worldly thoughts by directly focusing on a positive course. Guys, it's not enough, what I'm saying is, it's not enough to just say, okay, I don't want that. You have to go choose something you do want. If, I don't know if I should admit this or not, but I don't really like to clean stuff because I clean stuff and it just creates a vacuum. And other stuff goes in there, so why bother in the first place? Okay. Well, if you're not going to use it for something productive, then yes, that's going to happen, isn't it? Okay. It's the same spiritually. Jesus talks about that. I'm not going to... I don't really have time to hit all of that right now. But, you know, basically Jesus just used the example of an unclean spirit that goes out of a man. Okay? And when that unclean spirit goes out of a man, it comes, and it can't find any place. It comes back and it finds a place unoccupied, swept, and put in order. It says, all right, there's room for my friends too. And it goes and invites its friends to come back and they live there. And the last day becomes worse than the first. That language sounds familiar to me. 2 Peter 2, somebody who falls away. So we have to choose to put stuff in. We are engaged in a spiritual warfare. And to forget that for a moment could lead to our death. We ultimately, you know, the scripture talks about us taking every thought captive, the obedience of Christ. And part of the thrust of that is to actually take other people's thoughts captive, the obedience of Christ. In other words, to share the message, right? To help other people become Christians. But we got to start with ours first. In an airplane, what do they tell you? Put the oxygen mask on yourself first and then help your neighbor. Okay? So, the scripture says renewing of your mind. I remember Hop was an electrician. And so I remember one time I was in a conversation with him and somebody else and we were just talking. And he's like, rewiring. He was like, you got bad wiring up in there and you got to go and you got to replace that wiring. You take out the old and you got to rewire this. You got to change it so the wiring is right. But that's what renewing of the mind is. I'll just put it this way. To whatever extent we allowed ourselves to be influenced in the world, we have bad wiring that has to be replaced. And you know if you got bad wiring and you leave it unchecked, there's a fire that's waiting to happen. I'll just let your mind figure out what the spiritual implications of that are. But we got to be actively engaged in this, okay? Renewing our mind. So, you know, it's interesting that science, the more we actually find out about science, the more it actually supports the fact that, hey, there's a designer, right? The more we find out about social sciences, when we actually look at the science of it, we find the Bible's right. You know, from social sciences, we understand neural pathways in the mind. There's basically, there's neural pathways. I just like to think of it as a really simple illustration. There's channels in our mind that the more you go down those, they become like we got a couple dogs. These guys are goofy, man, but they make little, what's the word I'm looking for? The trails in the backyard, like you're up in the woods or something, and this is the only thing. They go over the same path every time, and it wears out our grass, and there's like a some triangular pathway system they have. I don't know why they do that. It seems to me the grass seems fine. Maybe people aren't, the girls aren't cleaning up after themselves, after the dogs. Cleaning up after the dogs quickly enough, and that's the only safe pathways for them. I don't know how that happens, but I know they go over the same path over and over and over again, and it becomes apparent what those pathways are. Right? I've used this example, my brother and I, and this, what I'm saying is, this is the way our mind works, guys. We go over the same path over and over and over. It gets driven in deep. So, my brother Matt and I, when we were younger, we lived in this, down by this, there was a field by our house, and man, we loved to go down there and just play, and there was just a little creek that ran through there. And there was this one spot we just decided, it was really cool, it ran right by this tree, and we're like, if we dam up the creek right here, okay, and we dig, we're gonna reroute this little creek. And we did our best, and we had fun doing it, but we dug our own channel around the tree the other way, and we could get water flowing through that other channel, okay, by damming this off and by making a new one. But the problem was, sometimes our dam would break down, okay, anyways, the long and the short of it is, ours never became the default system. It was kind of like an overflow. It never became the main pathway. Does that make sense? So, spiritually, brethren, hey, we've had some bad pathways. And if we're going to change those, and we're going to have new pathways that are going to become our default settings, we're going to have to dam up the old ones. Do some things to stop going down those pathways, and we're going to have to put some work in to steal from another example Jesus used, to dig deep, okay? To make new channels. This is our responsibility. Okay? Now, I will warn you about this for a second. Don't get discouraged and don't quit, because along the way in this process, sometimes some things can come up, pressure situations, and you can revert back to the old default system. Don't give up. The Bobcat football team, not very good this year. We have this amazing athlete at quarterback. He's a running back who's trying to play quarterback. But he's an amazing athlete. And he's supposed to be a quarterback, and the guy can run like crazy, but he struggles to throw the ball a little. So, hey, we got this great quarterback coach, a guy who was a great quarterback for the Bobcats. He's going to coach him up, and man, this guy, he's taught him new footwork, got the technique down, all that stuff, right? So this guy should be good. Now, and it's in spring scrimmages, fall scrimmages, look pretty good. Against bad teams, he looks like he can throw the ball. Against good teams, guess what happens? He reverts back to all of his old bad mechanics. I just want to say, let's get a real quarterback in there. Right, Coop? But, you know, the reality of it is, probably, hey, if that guy will stay with it, because he shows glimpses, he can do it against when the pressure isn't so great. If he'll stay with that, that can become his new identity. Okay? But you're going to have to stay with it. You understand the spiritual implication here? This is a process, brethren. And don't quit. And think, oh, this doesn't work. I promise you this. Okay? I don't promise you this. God promises you this. Now, the reason I bring this up is I struggle to commit fully to something unless I know it's going to work. Like, I see the book, you know, Rock Hard Abs in 10 Days. I'm like, yeah, right. I mean, it probably depends on where you're starting from, those 10 days. But, I mean, you know, okay, it's possible if you're already almost there. But, you know, it's like, yeah, come on. Hey, this, you can trust God. God will transform us. And I'm not going to have time to preach on that part today. Be transformed. That's God's part. God will transform you. This works. Stay with it. Trust the process. Okay? What are you going to put in? Now, man, I got all sorts of illustrations. I just want to hit a couple more of these. Because it helps me understand sometimes the physical realm, what's going on in the spiritual. There was a guy Bible study with one time, and he said like another level, another devil. He's a younger guy than me, and I think he's talking about video games, but it made sense to me. I'm not much of a video game guy, but I remember Pac-Man or Mario brothers or whatever. And you, I remember Mario a little bit. I've never been good at video games, and another one of those acquired tastes I don't plan on developing. But you know, you clear, the one thing I do remember, like you get through this level, you get all your coins or whatever, you get through this level, and then you go to a new level. And you know what happens? The new level, for me anyways? Like, it's not very far into that, I crash, I die, lose a life, right? Thankfully you got some built up, and you go and you do it and you lose a life. You have to learn at this new level how to win. Well, guys, I've, at 45 years old, I think is what I am, I've learned in my Christian life, there's another level, another devil. You can be going along, oh yeah, I got this, and now there's another area of your life. There's a new chapter in your life, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, I had no idea this was coming. I am not ready for this. Never seen this before. What are you going to do? You crash? You're going to crash and burn? Are you going to crash? You get up and say, okay, I got to renew my mind. I got to get my mind set to be able to go down the right pathway here. That's what the Lord wants us to do. So, I know this is mostly illustrations. I hope we can make the spiritual application. I got one other example. Because I think about this. I don't know how you guys are, but for me, this is Christianity. Romans 12, verse 2. This is the fight. This is where we either win or we lose. This is not only where we either win or we lose. This is where we determine for eternity whether or not we're winners or losers. And I find it a tremendous challenge sometimes to have that mind right, to renew. How do you renew your mind? So I got one other illustration. Here I've been going along 45 years of my life, and all of a sudden, my Achilles tendons, like both of them, I got serious, serious problems with these things. Like, you guys see me walking backwards sometimes, and it's something called, and I've done a little bit of research. I'm not going to a doctor, and I'll tell you why. I've been a doctor before for a knee, and they basically told me, go home, get fat, sit on your couch, and watch TV, and die. I'm not going to do that. So I don't want to go pay money for someone to tell me to quit. So I'm trying to figure this out, right? So I got something called insertional Achilles tendonitis, where it inserts in. Well, then your body's trying to, I think Mrs. Bree helped me a little bit with something there. My body's trying to hold something on, and so it's even making like a little growth. So all sorts of factors in this. Here's the point. I got some from the past. Some of these factors are from the past. When I had chemotherapy, one of the things it did is sucked all the magnesium out of me. Okay? I get really low on magnesium still. Well, if I quit taking that stuff, guess one of the things I did in my research, I found out your tendons, magnesium's like a really important thing for that. Okay, so there's a factor. The repetitive motion, doing the same thing continuously. Like a lot of walking where it goes through the whole thing. I was doing a lot of walking. Okay, this is just same repetitive stuff. Getting to, I was trying to think, what did I do? I did something new. I started playing racquetball with a new brother in Christ. A few times. And I roped somebody else into it too. A few times. And my feet did hurt me really bad when I do that. I was thinking, okay, something new. I did something new. And then, because of that little growth, now I got pressure against the heel. So, you know what I've done? I'm willing to try anything to fix this. Except go to the doctor. I'm taking calcium, magnesium, vitamins. I bought new shoes. I bought insoles at somebody's suggestion. I got the right kind of heel lifts now, because they're actually fixing at least my feet. I cut the backs out of some of my old pairs of shoes. Okay? Mrs. Marie pointed me in the right direction. Man, that helps a lot. It's a weird thing. But so I took an old pair of shoes and I like cut the backs out of them so there's no pressure there against it. Hey, what am I driving at spiritually? Guys, what are you willing to do to fix your mind? What are you willing to do? Oh, I forgot. There's these other kind of exercises too. That these special kind that you have to do. You don't just do calf raises. You actually start with your calf and you just lower yourself, because there's this part of your Achilles when it's trying to repair itself. It repairs itself, but it puts it all in the wrong, like a big jumbled mess together. So it's not repairing it the right way. Hey, there's some spiritual application of that too, probably. So let's think about this. What are we willing to do to get our minds right? How about start by reading God's Word? Guys, our mind's never going to be right if we don't put God's Word in. How about praying? Talking to God. His thoughts, we already agreed to. His thoughts are right. Don't we want... How are you going to... Doesn't the Scripture speak about people who walked with God? Like, I want to walk with God. I want to think... I want to see things. I love my family. And sometimes I'll go with... I'll have a kid with me or whatever, and we'll just talk about something. And they'll bring something to my attention. They'll notice something that I don't notice. I'm like, wow, yeah, that's really beautiful. I like to see into the thoughts of people I love. I start to notice some of the same kinds of things. Hey, if you walk with God, you talk with God, you're going to start to see things from His perspective. How about memorizing Scripture? Man, I've been just cranking out the Scripture memorization for me lately. I mean, just all, like, shut off the radio in my car. And from my house to the church building, I can quote the book of James. From the church building back to my house, I can quote the book of 1 Peter. Okay? If I go on a walk, I can quote the book of Hebrews and Galatians. Like, what I'm saying is, guys, this is stuff to, you want to get your mind right. Think, put words of God in. They're going to be deeply implanted to save your souls. How about godly music? Messages. Yeah, I hope you guys are awake, when people are preaching up here this morning, for example. How about midweek study at fellowship? One of the things that the Scripture says is, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals, right? We are surrounded by people in the world all the time. I just want to... I noticed there was like 56 people here Wednesday night. And I know there were a number of regulars out of town. But I want you to think about something, guys. We going through the Gospel of John, I find it incredibly interesting and fun. And I get to do it with my brethren, and I get to know some brethren, and I get to think, hear the way they think and their perspective on some stuff from the Scripture. What more important thing do I have to do than to be there? I think it's a great opportunity in terms of changing the way that you think. Some intense study of your own, getting into some word study, and like figuring out, oh man, what does this mean here? And you like sort through it to understand God. Like, these things help our mind get right, to get our thinking straight. Then we can start working on others. I'm gonna wrap this up here, but I want to, one other thing I want to say. You guys, most of you guys know I like to work out. My whole life, I've really liked to work out. But I've never, ever paid attention to what I eat until maybe a little over a year ago. First time ever. Guys, that's... Don't ask me how I've been doing on that lately. But that's 80% of it. No doubt about it. 80%. What I'm saying is, you can put in all the right stuff. You can read your Bible, you can pray, you can memorize Scripture, you can study, and if you're still going and putting in a bunch of bad junk, you know what it's going to do? Nullify all the good stuff you're doing. Hey, the pressure of the world is strong. The pressure of the world is really, really strong. One other example, I'm somebody, I grew up in a house, never swore. Okay? I never swore my whole life. Okay? But I remember when I was younger, I was college age, there was a boss that I had, very, very influential, and he was good to me, and he taught me a lot, people skills and those kind of things. Like, from a worldly perspective, this guy was a good guy. Okay? But very, very strong, influential personality. And, he'd swear, and then he'd try not to swear with me around, so he'd use substitutes. And one of the things I noticed myself doing when I was around him, when I worked for him, I noticed in my mind, I'd start, like, saying substitutes. Okay. Even though I'd never done that in my life. What I'm just saying, here was a good guy from the world, right? He taught me a lot of good stuff. But even that, because he's a part of the world, is corruption. I know a lot of us work with people that swear all the time and talk about all sorts of inappropriate stuff. And hey, some of that, you can't control what's around you. But the rest of it, you put it in and you pray and you ask. God promises that His peace will guard our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. But we have a part in this. What are you willingly, what are you consciously choosing to put into your mind? This is the battle, brother. You guys agree with me? The battle is for the souls of humans everywhere. The battleground for my soul and for your soul is right here. So don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's stand.